I'm muting you now. All mute. Okay, mute all. We're now up to Pasuk. We've gone to yesterday to the beginning of Pasuk Yud. We began the Pasuk in Pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Aleph. Okay, so we've gone through just basically the Mitzudas David and that's all we did. We only did the Mitzudas David. Okay, we did not even do yet the Rashi. So let's read the Pesukim very just read the Pesukim one more time. Chavakuk, Perik Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet. The Pesukim read, Hoy wo bona ir bedamim, v'choinin kirya ba'avla. Woe to this evil man Nebuchadnezzar, who builds his city bedamim with blood, v'choinin kirya ba'avla, and establishes his city with avla, with a wrongdoing. Woe to this person. Woe, ho is an expression of oive. Woe to him. Pasuk Yud Gimel. What's going to become of him? Halai hine. There are two words here. This is very unusual. It's like a double negative. It's a double statement of astonishment. We mentioned this yesterday. Had it just said once halai or the word hine, that would have been sufficient. The fact that it says twice halai hine is an intensity. Is it not? Behold, me'es Hashem tzvakos. Is this not from Hashem? Is this? Will it not be that the punishment will come from Hashem? Now, these words here are indeed very difficult to translate. Yesterday, we translated these words according to the Mitzudas David. We read the words of the Mitzudas David inside, and it means, the words of the Pasuk themselves do not tell us what it means. We have to inject into these words interpretation. And the Mitzudas David, he added one word, Yavoi, the word Gimul. Halo, Me'es Hashem, Yavoi Loi HaGimul. He will be punished. It's not going to happen by chance. Now let's just dwell upon that for one moment because we didn't really discuss this too well yesterday. In other words, the point of the Pasuk is when it will happen that the nation of Edom will come to an end, there will be many historians, many experts in the field of political science that will tell you that it's natural. It's part of the natural way of the world for this nation to cease to exist. According to the Perush of the Mitzudas David only, we have to see the other commentators, the Pasuk is coming to reject that as a fact. When it will happen that Edom will come to an end, you should be absolutely certain, clear. It's like we say in Aleinu, V'yodato hayoim v'hashevoiso el livavecha. You shall know today, v'hashevoisa el livavecha, and put it to your heart. That expression that we say in Aleinu is very powerful because it includes the intellect and the emotion. Sometimes on paper, we read a report, we read information, and yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You can have a book, and the book can prove to you a thesis as to why something happened. You can literally, a conspiracy theory. I ever watched these conspiracy theories. Years ago, I watched on YouTube these conspiracy theories about 9/11, that it was the United States of America that brought down the Twin Towers. And I got to tell you, it was compelling. It was absolutely brilliant. The ability to take information and manipulate it and try to brainwash people that this was some type of elaborate plot of the United States of America for whatever their purposes were, I got to tell you, you got to watch these videos. They're unbelievable. They really know how to play with your mind, and on paper, they can present you incredible pieces of information. But let me ask you, when you watch that video, and when you watch this conspiracy theory that the United States of America brought down the Twin Towers, maybe at the end of the documentary, at the end of this presentation, it will be the odata. You know, you get an A++ for the information, but let me ask you, is it v'hashevoisa el livavecha? Do you really believe it? Does your heart really acknowledge that it's true? like Rashi always says, Libi Oimer Li. I know this is what it says, this is the information, but my heart tells me otherwise. Okay, it's nonsense. After everything is said and done, we know that it's nonsense. We know that it was an act of terror. Same thing, exactly that. V'yodata hayoim, you shall know in the mind, intellectually, v'hashevoisa el levavecha, and you shall also know deep down in your heart that ki Hashem hu Elokim b'ashamayim b'mal v'oritz mitoch haseinot, that the Ribbono shel Olam, it's His world. Likewise here, the pasuk here makes it very clear. Haloi hine me'eis Hashem tzivokos. This event where Edom will come to an end and Edom will receive their just punishment, you shall know that it's from the Ribbono shel Olam. It's His doing. It's not a coincidence. It's not just a political reality that Edom ceases to exist as the world power. No. And here the pasuk emphasizes this point with two words, a double haloi. Is it not true? That would have been enough. But it doesn't stop there. It says, hine, behold. That's also an introductory statement. And we put the two together. And the sum is greater than the parts. When Edom comes to an end, it's me'es Hashem tzivokos. And notice also the double usage of Hashem's name. It's not enough to say me'es Hashem. It's not enough to say me'es tzivokos. We put the two together. Obviously, there's great significance of putting the two names of Hashem together. What is it? I don't know exactly what the significance. It's a fact that this that they have will cease to exist will be from the Ribbono shel Olam. And the words of the Mitzvah Stavet are very beautiful. Yovoi loy hagimul. It will come upon Edom. He is learning. Remember, we learned yesterday that he learns that this refers to Edom. Edom v'loy b'mikre. This is not an accident. This is not something which happened by chance. Okay. Then it goes on to say the v'yigu amen b'de'esh. Okay. And we learned yesterday the two perushim. I told you the drush. We're not going to do it again now. V'yigu amen b'de'esh, that the nations will weary. They will wear themselves out according to the simple understanding of the words b'day esh, for nothing. The end will be they will burn in fire. They will suffer the fire of Gehenim. They will, all of their effort, all of their yigia will result in them. It's all terrible averos. They will burn in Gehenim. And ulu umim, we are repeating the words v'yigu. The word v'yigu should be repeated a second time. It's like it says v'yigu umim. The nations will weary all for nothing. B'day rik yofu. Okay, it's poetic. We repeat the word yofu. The end's going to be that they're going to be tired and worn out, all for nothing. Pasuk yidal ki timol haaretz, the earth will be filled. Lodas es kivoid Hashem. Okay, that is a very powerful idea, because here this pasuk Chavakuk, he focuses on honor, kavod. When we say Aleinu, we recite the various psukim. We don't often refer to Hashem's honor. We just more often refer to the acknowledgement that Hashem exists. V'hoyo Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz. We don't often focus on the kivoid malchuso. We say baruch shem baruch shem kivoid malchuso li'olam vo'ed. This is a very famous vart. What's the famous vart? That we have a contradiction between the vision of Yeshaya and the vision of Yecheskel. Yeshaya, when he saw the Maisa Merkava, he says there that he saw the malachim have six wings. Whereas Yechezkel, when he describes the same vision, the same scene of the Maaseh Merkava, he describes the Malachim as having only four wings. Why does Yeshaya see a Malach of Hashem six and Yechezkel four? And the answer is the six wings that were seen by Yeshaya correspond to the six words that we say every day in Kriya Shema? Baruch, Shem, Kivoid, Malchuso, Li'olam, Va'ed. Okay, that's what it says in Chazal. Yechezkel, he saw the Maestri Merkava at the time of the Churban. He was in Bavel, Al-Nahar Kvar. He was on the river in Bavel, and he was witnessing the Golas. He was witnessing Hashem Shechina depart. He only saw four angels, because the angels clipped two of their wings. Baruch Shem Le'olam Vo'ed. Kivoid Malchuso, the glory of Hashem's Malchus, is diminished in the times of Golos. And that's why we are mispalel for Hashem to restore the Kivoid, different parts of davening. It slips my memory where exactly we say this, but part of the Nusach HaTefillah we mentioned, we mispalel to Hashem that Hashem should restore the Kivoid Malchus. So whenever we talk about Kavod, we're referring to something very subtle, and we're referring to the Achris Hayamim. And it's not for nothing that Chavakuk Hanavi here, he says, Ki timolei haaretz lo das. It's not just enough they're going to know Hashem. They're going to know in the times of Moshiach, es kivoid Hashem. Notice it doesn't say Malchus. Every word here is very important. And the metaphor is kamayim, yichasu al yom, equivalent to mayim that covers the sea bed. Okay, now let's see Rashi. That's really where we are up to. Pasuk Yud Beis. There is no Rashi on Yud Beis. We go to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Lo hinei mi'es Hashem b'yishtalem pur onus lo'osei risha. Rashi echoes, or the Mitzudos David, more precisely, echoes the words of Rashi. Rashi is injecting Perush into the words. Like we said, these words, if you just take these words by themselves, it's a big mystery as to what these words mean. What does this mean? Hinei me, halo hinei me'es Hashem Tzivakas. What? What? What is me'es Hashem Tzivakas? Everything is me'es Hashem Tzivakas. You woke up this morning, you said Moda Ani. That was also Me'es Hashem Tzivakas. What does this mean over here? So Rashi tells us from the context of the Pasukim, it means Edom, the fall, the defeat of the Malchus of Edom, which is quite a shocking thing because Edom, Mandikar Shemei, we're discussing Nebuchadnezzar. Pasuk Yud Aleph ends with Nebuchadnezzar. Now Pasuk Yud Beis. Well, you know, I take that back. Rashi doesn't say it's Edom. I take that back. The Mitzudos David was the one that explicitly said that these pesukim referred to the Malchus of Edom. Rashi is silent. So for all we have a right to assume that Rashi is continuing to describe the fall of Nebuchadnezzar. We're not yet up to Edom. The one that really, really needs support, who said a chiddush that's beyond off the charts, is the Mitzudos. How did you jump from the Nebuchadnezzar and skip Parasumadai and Yavon and go all the way to the Malchus of Edom? He's the one that needs to bring a proof to what he said. But Rashi doesn't say any of that. Rashi just has a general description. V'yishtalem puranus le'oisei risha. The day will come, it will be from Hashem, that the wicked will get what they deserve. Next. V'yigu amim b'de'esh kasher ba'asher t'voyeim chamosi ko'esh ad sheyehei dayon. Now this is an amazing thing here. This is b'de'esh. Rashi here says, he picks up on the word b'de'. This is awesome, 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 off the charts. When we translate the words b'de', I'm going to ask Michal to tell me what it says in the Judaica Press, the precise translation in English, how they translate the word bidet, if you're not going to take Rashi into account. What does it say there?
I'll give you the whole phrase. When my wrath, which is like fire, shall come upon them until they are sated.
So you translated there from the Judaica Press, that is like my wrath, which doesn't say in the Pasuk anywhere. Okay, doesn't that was injected, and it says that is like. Bidei means which is equivalent to. That is the way the Judaica press is translating the word bidei, based upon the general opinion of all of the commentators. My wrath, okay, those are like brackets, that's been injected, which is like fire. We always refer to Hashem's anger, Gehenim, that fire is 1/60th of the Eish Shel Gehenim. Okay, that is like fire. Rashi here says, the word bidei is related to the word dai, like dayenu, dayenu, that word. Bidei, so v'yigu amim, bidei esh, kasher. So now let's read how he words kasher. And he says, in nusach acher, in my text, it says, nusach acher ba'asher, tivoyim chamosi. Okay, that's what it says, that's what the Judaica press also injected into the pasuk, when my fury comes upon them. And it doesn't say that anywhere. I mean, Rashi is really he's pushing things into the pasuk. And what does the Targum say? Targum says, Ha mechon takifon vachasinon osyon my power vachasinon. Okay, I'm not sure those words mean in the Targum. Ha mechon takifon vachasinon osyon min kodomo Hashem tzvokos. Okay, I don't know what those words mean. I don't know. Let's leave that for the moment. Okay. Let's put that aside for the moment. But Rashi says, Tivoim chamosi ko'esh, like fire, ad sheyehei dayom, until the point where they are enough. Enough. And what does that mean, enough? And then he says, bidei esh. He quotes a old French word. What does it mean? What's the old French word?
Yeah, the word is assez, which means enough.
Enough. Bidei esh, enough. Enough. Now,
you know, I'm thinking that, the fire of retribution will come until they are burned out.
Until, very good, until they are burned out. The esh ad sheyehei dayam. Ko esh, fire. Rashi is very precise. Ad until sheyehei dayam, enough, meaning, now enough of what? So simply, I think we would understand this to mean until it doesn't burn anymore. You know, you can take a piece of wood and you can
put it. By burnout, yeah.
There's nothing more is combustible. You have transformed all of the items in the object that you want to burn, they've been you've sucked out of them any particle that has potential to produce heat. There's nothing left. There's nothing more to do. That is, yeah, that's the simple. Abelazer, you want to say something?
I have a translation in a different.
Yeah.
It's just like this. This was, can you read it? Well, did the English translate me also, but it says like this: behold, it is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people should labor in the very weary fire, and the nations should weary themselves for very vanity? Weary, V-E-R-Y. Weary, I don't know that word.
Very, V-E-R-Y? V-E-R-Y, very.
Very, yeah. So behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people should labor in the very fire?
In the very fire.
And the nations should weary themselves for very vanity.
I think the word, the one that is, I have it here, is weary, not
weary, weary. Weary. All right, that's the Yigu. Okay, that's the word v'yigu. The word v'yigu is the definition of the word v'yigu is weary. Is weary. Okay, but bidei means in the essence, in the very fire, in the very essence of fire. I think what your translation is trying to translate the word bidet in the essence that the wicked people will be consumed in the essence of fire. There are different types of fire. There are Chazal, in fact, they tell us there are many different types of fire. I don't remember. Maybe is there a Chazal that says there are 70 types of fire, or there are 7 types of fire? I don't remember. But one thing is for sure: there are different forms of fire, and this pasuk is telling us that the nations will be punished, not just in a lightweight version of fire. We're talking heavy, serious, intense fire of the highest temperature, bideyesh, the essence of fire. So far we have 3 translations. We have the Judaica Press. Judaica Press, he's not saying it on his own. He's surmising from everything on the page is that the wicked people, they're going to burn in Hashem's anger. And Hashem's anger is similar, it can be compared to fire. Fire is a metaphor for Hashem's anger. The word bidet means like. Rashi, on a very literal level, says they're going to burn in fire to the point where there's nothing left to burn. They have been completely pulverized. They've been vaporized into nothing. There's just dayam. Dayam means there's nothing left to burn. And then Ablazer is telling us that bidet means in the essence of fire. There's fire and there's fire. The wicked are going to be, they're going to get the real heat. They're going to be consumed in the most intense type of fire. Now let me tell you a drush. The very last pasuk of Yeshaya, we read this on a Tainis Tzibor. It says there about Yemos HaMashiach, about the wicked people, V'hayu l'deiro'oin, L'chol basar, they will be a day ra'on. What is that? What does that word mean? V'hayu l'day ra'on l'chol basar. Rashi there says the word day ra'on means die. Die ri'iyah. Enough. I can't look at it. I cannot bear to witness this scene. It is so obscene. It is so ugly. It is so intense. Even those that are strong and have seen it all, have seen every ugly experience in this world, they will not be able to watch. It's too much. Dai ri'iya. When you come across this event, this scene of the wicked people being obliterated, burning in fire, you say to yourself, enough, die, turn away, turn to the sun. I cannot watch this anymore. Diarrhea. So I want to suggest that we all know, Ein shnei nevi'im misnabim besignun echad. Nevi'im were shown a scene. They saw the same movie. Habakkuk and Yeshaya saw the same movie. But everyone who reviews the movie has a different way of describing what they see. Yeshaya, when he describes the scene of the wicked people being obliterated, his words are, V'hayu deiro'oin l'chol basar. The scene of the wicked being removed from the face of this earth will take place with such intensity and such precision, I don't know exact words you want to use, whatever you want to use here, even the most person who is the complete opposite of being a faint of heart will have to say, Deiro'in, Dairi'ya. Habakkuk says exactly the same thing. He says here, V'yigu'u amim, the nations of the world, they will wear themselves out in their wickedness, to the point where bidei esh. Rashi here actually says the word bidei is related to the word dai, enough, sufficient, enough. Enough of what? Well, if you want to connect the vision of Chavakuk to the vision of Yeshayah and say they're seeing the same thing, and they are, they're both describing the end of days, if you want to learn like the Mitzudas, and describe the obliteration of the wicked. So just like Yeshayah said, Dei Ra'oin, and Rashi there says, Dai Re'iyah, and here it says, Bidei, and Rashi himself says that, Sheyehei Dayam, the Iker portion of the word is Dai, and the Bei is a prefix. It means it's enough. Enough of what? I can't watch this. I have to turn away. A person who sees this die, he says die. By the way, one of the things, like my pet peeves, I always like to review this with you, is Hagoyin Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he wrote a kina for the Holocaust. And, you know, we discussed this many times. What word or term would you use to describe the Holocaust? Today it's burnt into our minds, the word Holocaust. As we learned, the word Holocaust is a new word. It wasn't even used at the time. Somehow this word, Holocaust, became the descriptive term to describe the Churban that happened in Europe to the Jewish people. That became the code word, the go-to word. But, you know, it was first added to our vocabulary after the Holocaust happened. It wasn't introduced into our vocabulary when the war was over in 1945, 1944. In 1944, if you would ask a person, what happened here? 6 million people died. Give me one word to describe this. No one would use the word Holocaust. I don't know what word they would use, but they didn't use the word Holocaust. It was a new word that caught on later. I don't know the details. The people here taught me this. How many? Maybe it was even 5 years later. It was at a later point in time that the word Holocaust catched on and became part of our vocabulary to describe the horrific event of the Churban of Jewry in Europe, and more than just Europe, all the different parts of the world where Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, was able to reach, and the aftermath and the after effects of this event. We took a word and we used it. Now there were Gedolei Yisrael later who were not very pleased with the word Holocaust, and namely the one that was probably the biggest opponent to this word was Rav Huttner, Zichron Levracha. Rav Huttner, he wrote an article in the Jewish Observer. It was very well received. And he took very strong issue with the term Holocaust, because Holocaust connotes chaos. That's what it means in the dictionary. In the English dictionary, Holocaust means chaos, just no one's in control, just total loss of control, which goes up and against everything that we know to be true in our Hashkafa. A Orthodox Jew who is a Maimon knows that the Holocaust was not an act of chaos. It was an act of precision. No, how do you explain it? No one knows. No one can tell you how to explain what was going on, what happened. But we have emuna in believing that Hashem had a plan. There was a reason. It was done with precision. And it's something that we have no understanding of. But the very least, we have to express our emuna that it was not just chaos. Hashem was present every step of the way.
The first term they used was genocide. And the Yidden used the word churban.
Okay.
But churban was a very... He said churban Europa.
But it wasn't only Europe. It wasn't only Europe.
So I could have picked up the word churban.
Yeah.
And especially if the word Shoah was a modern Hebrew word.
Shoah is another word. That's a later word. Okay, yeah.
The loaded word.
What? That was a later word. The Shoah. Okay, but you have many words. The Holocaust, Churban, Shoah. Rav Shimon Schwab in the Kina that he wrote to describe this event, I was blown away. He has his own word. He calls it the Dei Ra'on. The way Rav Shimon Schwab describes the Holocaust is not Shoah, not Holocaust, not Churban, not genocide. I like genocide. I think genocide is the best of them all. Genocide really describes what happened. But the word, he rejects all of those words and he selected the word Day Ra'on. Because in Tanakh, all of the words in Tanakh, in the entire Tanakh, that describe something horrific, if you want to go on a scale of 1 to 10, go through the entire Tanakh and find all words that describe events, horrific events, the 10 plus is Day Ra'on. Day Ra'on. It is so horrific, you can't even dwell upon it. Dai ru'iya. And ru'iya doesn't just mean physical sight. Ru'iya means even intellectual vision. When you reflect, contemplate upon this event, that's ru'iya. Dai. All right, I got to get out of here. I need a break. I got to go. I can't continue to observe because it's above my, I'll go out of my mind. I'll lose my mind trying to understand and to view what happened. And even a person who is the most insensitive, okay, and the person that's hard as stone, when he applies himself to reflect upon what happened, he will lose his mind. Day Ra'on. He's brilliant. Rav Shimon Schwab, I mean, it's brilliant. And he actually, in his kina, that's the word. He doesn't say Shoah, doesn't say Holocaust, doesn't say genocide, doesn't say Churban, none of that. Day Ra'on is the word he uses selected for the event of the Holocaust. Dai Re'iyah, just like it says about the wicked people in the times of Mashiach, when Hashem will obliterate evil, it's going to be done with such force and such intensity. V'hayu l'deiro'oin l'chol basar. V'hayu l'deiro'oin l'chol basar. Now let's go back to this pasuk. This pasuk over here says, V'yigu amim.
There is another word in Navi, in Ishaya, it says, Mishayas Rishoyim. Altir v'pacha pizlein, Mishayas Rishoyim.
That's Shoya, Mishayas Rishoyim.
I heard Lieutenant Birnbaum said that he never concentrated on this pasuk until he liberated one of the concentration camps. Then it's the first time that he associated the pasuk with Shoah.
Interesting. That's very interesting. It's a very good point you're making. Okay, that's fascinating. Okay, I want to go look that up. I want to look into that. That's really good. It's really, really good.
By the way, the word Holocaust comes from the Holocaust comes from the word Ola, the carbon Ola, like complete burning. So that's where they got the word from.
Holocaust of carbon oil? What is it? What do you mean?
Carbon oil, yeah, that's what I read. That's where it comes from.
You got to show that to me. In the English dictionary, you have a dictionary, go online, yeah, and type in the word of the dictionary, Holocaust, see what they translate.
Right, but that's a new term. They didn't have that before, 75 years ago, so they translated it as, you know, chaos. But I think that Holocaust of the word from carbon oil.
It's not a Hebrew word. It's probably a Latin word. It's an English word, which probably can be traced. The etymology of the word can be traced probably to a Latin word. Okay, I don't know. Okay, words are words. Okay, words is the whole world of language. But this, it really resonated with me. This thing of v'hayu deroin. When you take that here and you put that in this pasuk of yigu amim b'dei esh. And you want to suggest, like I told you, is that the Habakkuk is watching the same movie as Yeshaya, and when Yeshaya says v'hayu dei ra'on l'chol basar, it's not a coincidence that he says the word b'dei esh, same exact thing. He's saying is that the fire is going to be so intense, dai, and the way he described it is just ein shnei nevi'im misnabim b'signun echad, but obviously there is a theme, there is a common theme that goes through the words of Yeshaya and the words of Habakkuk in describing the same event. Now let's go a little bit further in the world of Drush. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world with the Shem Shakai. On our tefillin, you have Shin, on the Shal Rosh, the Dalit and the Kesher, and the Yud on the Shal Yad. Shakai. What's the significance? Vo'era el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov bikel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem loy noidati lohem. Originally, the name of Hashem in nature, in the world of nature, is only Shakai. Now, Moshe, it is your mission to bring into this world Yudke Vavke. But originally, the way Hashem created the world was with the name Shakai. What is the name Shakai? Shakai, there are many translations. We spent time on this. We went to Shur on this. But among the many translations, Shakai is a acronym. The Shin stands for She'omar. She'omar, the Lamed, I don't know, the Lamed is invisible. Le'olamai, die. Hashem said, die, enough. Now what does that mean? It means Hashem did not finish creation. Creation, it's like under construction. This world has a very big sign on it. Under construction. Hashem made the world. It was like whatever it was, 90% finished. And then Hashem told the union, Hashem told all the workers, I'm not paying you. You're fired. Get lost. And the world was left hanging in limbo. The scaffolding is all over the place. The building materials are lying all over the place. And nothing is finished. The world, Hashem left the scene of creation in the middle. The world was moving ahead at, it was on schedule to finish construction completely. And Hashem said, die, enough, you're all fired. You're fired, no more. Let the world remain in an unfinished state. How could that be? Adam will finish off the job. And this is reflected in many, many different areas. The most famous, I think we mentioned this last week, I think Rachel mentioned it, is Bris Milah. The Kesar, he asked, I think Rabbeinu HaKadosh, I don't remember who he asked, I think it was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, if Hashem wants man to have a Bris Milah, so why was he born with an Arla? Why is there an Arla? The answer is exactly the point. When man is born incomplete. Hashem wants man to finish off the job. Hashem wants to give man the ability, the opportunity to be mishtatef in the Bria. And that has many, many different dimensions. Like I told you this, I'm not going to go this again, but this scientist who studies viruses and all different things in the laboratory, he said that corona shook him to the core because his entire life, everything that he studies, he can say about the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem is sloppy. Chas v'shalom. All of the things under a microscope, there's always something unsatisfying. There's always something that is not right. Everything is just out of place. Something is missing. It's not symmetrical. I don't know what these terms mean. But a person that studies things, whatever, under a microscope, there's a seder. There is an arrangement of all of the various molecules, the atoms, the neutrons, the protons, I don't know all these things, what all these things are. And there's a certain expectation that we as man have that everything should be put in a certain order that makes sense. And yet nothing ever makes sense. Everything is always a little bit off. And that perfectly reflects the principle of die. Hashem B'davka made a world where things are indeed a little bit off. And I told you that he said that corona is a yoytze min haklal, because corona under a microscope is too perfect. It's too pretty. Everything is where it's supposed to be. Everything is symmetrical. All the parts just happen, you know, if man made it, if you were making corona, this is how you would make it. You would put everything in order in the proper place. What does that mean? I don't know. It means nothing. Obviously, it means nothing. I'm just telling you, just giving you, just saying over this nonsense, if it is nonsense, just to illustrate the point, is that She'omar le'olam adai, and Hashem gave man the opportunity to be mashal in the world. Now, it's fascinating that the end of Yeshaya, which describes the end of days, and this pasuk as well, that describes bidei esh, there's an end. the end always comes back to the beginning. When you make a siyum, what do you do when you make a siyum? You go back to the beginning. Right? You mesayim shas, and you right away start mesech the brachas. When you make a siyum, you chayzer galila, simchas Torah. We finish v'zayis habracha, and we start with bereshis. The end takes us back to the beginning. The beginning of creation was done with the word die. She'omar le'olamoy die. The end of this world, as we know it, whatever that all that means, is also die. It's die in the sense that the tzaddikim have filled up the void of what is missing. Hashem said to the world, die. Stop. I want to give a human being an opportunity to finish off what's lacking. The tzaddikim succeed in finishing off what's lacking. But the wicked who don't, and the wicked who have done everything in their power to prevent the tzaddikim from finishing off the world, they need to be punished with dai. It's poetic justice. Okay, poetic justice. The tzaddikim's role in the Bria, mitchilosa v'yatsoifoi, is to be mashlim what Hashem said dai. Rishoim, you don't want the tzaddikim, you don't want to let them finish off the job? You don't want to allow it? Okay. You'll get what you deserve, and with poetic justice, your punishment will be described with the word Dei Ro'oin. Dai Re'iyah. I can't even look at this. And Chavakuk also does the same thing. He says, Bidei Eish, Rashi, Sheyehei Dayom. We're going to finish you off until there's nothing left of you. Precisely with the word die. Because here we are at the very, very end. The beginning was die, the end is die. There are two ways to end off with die. You can end off with die by filling in what was supposed to be, or if you don't want to be on that team, you want to be on the wrong team, then you'll get the die of being obliterated from the face of the earth. Okay, so this is an idea of die. It's not for nothing that we have on the Haggadah.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
I just want to point out that Ezra is correct, that the word Holocaust derives from the Greek, according to Britannica, the Greek word holocauston, which is a translation of the word olah, something that is completely burnt.
Wow.
So think about it. Cost, you know, the word caustic means something that burns, right? Burning.
That is amazing. It's amazing. My whole life, I never heard such a thing. I never heard that. You hear the Holocaust?
Thank you.
That is okay. An amazing, amazing thing. It was Kedai to wake up today to learn that.
Ezra Ugalde.
I always ask myself, what was the purpose of today? What did you gain today? What little fact, after all the problems and issues you deal with every day? Wow, that's an amazing, that's remarkable. Never heard that before. Spent a lot of time on the Holocaust. I never came across that. That's fascinating. Thank you very much for that chidush. Unbelievable. All right, so this is the die. Now let's now go further in the Rashi. So that's Rashi. Rashi really said a mouthful of you with the word dayom. It's really amazing how you look at all the different translations. Avlazer's translation says the very essence of fire. Bideish. In the essence of the fire. And the Judaic Press says, which is comparable to fire. And Rashi says, doesn't say that. Rashi says, Ko'esh ad sheyehe dayom, until there's nothing more to burn. Three translations. It's so innocent. You read a pasuk here, and everyone here, off the bat, has a different translation. And now if we go back into the Mitzudos David, what does he say, bidei? He has a fourth translation. He says bidei means bidei. Look at the Mitzudos Tzion, beharbei esh. The Mitzudois Tzion was also disturbed with the word bidet, and he translates it as in the abundance of fire. I guess he's building that translation off the word die. Die means, oh, enough, enough. Die, dayenu, die, dayenu. It would have been enough. When you take the theme of dayenu and you put into the word here, bidet, it means an abundance of fire. So we have the essence of fire, an abundance of fire. We have like fire, and we have to the point, it's been burned to the point where there's nothing more to burn. There's nothing more. Dayom. It's done. It's done, completely burnt. And then we have the drush. The drush, number five, parish number five is the drush. We link up with Yeshaya, day ro'oin. When you look at this, you say to yourself, I am losing my mind. Enough. Die. Turn it to the side. Turn it to the side. Okay. Weiter. Weiter in the... This concludes the Rashi. Now let's go to the Radak. For the Radak, we have a long Radak here. Hoo-hoo. We've got a long Radak. And I got to take a picture. It's picture time. Here we go. Give me one moment, please. One moment. Okay, there it is. We got it on the screen. It's so easy, even an adult can do this. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hine me'eis Hashem Tzivakos. Okay, I'm going to put you on mute because... What happened? Put it over here on mute. Oops, I'm sorry. I muted you by mistake. You want to unmute yourself? You were saying something? Michal, you were saying something? Yeah.
It may help folks in reading the wide lines, if you turn your phone sideways.
Okay,
that way
good
you
idea.
Can enlarge the, you can get a wider view of the wider lines.
I imagine many of you have it on a computer screen. Some of you have it on a computer screen. I almost never use Zoom on a computer because I just don't have the opportunity. So I'm using it on my phone. And the functionality of the phone is a lot less than the functionality on a computer. It's interesting, Zoom is an application which every device that you use it on has different functionality. I think the highest level of functionality is on a Macintosh computer. On an Apple computer, that has the most features. On a Windows computer, you don't have every feature. You have most, but not all. And on the phones, you certainly have a lot. You're much more limited. But if you do have a phone, you also can zoom in with your fingers. Okay, you can expand it by putting your fingers together and opening them up on the screen. That will cause the screen to enlarge. Okay, so and you can move it with your finger. You can move the page around with your finger. Okay, let's begin. Halo yine me'ez Hashem Tzivakos. Ha'pasuk azeh v'achrav im nefarshim al inyan hafrasha shubi inyan nevuchadnezzar. If we go al inyan parsha, okay. So he's going to give us multiple perushim as to what these three psukim mean. Now pasuk, by the way, I'm reading from pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Beis, he doesn't say anything. He just says that it's mavar. Okay, that's so. Here's really where it starts, and he's going to give us over here multiple perushim. And the first parish he gives us is to tell us that this is continuation from the previous section. We are describing the Nebuchadnezzar, the Malchus of Babel. And he says, if you want to go and learn, understand that what we're reading now is a continuation from what we learned before. Ha'pasek hazeh v'abo achrov im nefarshim al inyan ha'parsha shubinyin Nebuchadnezzar yeh peirushoi kein. Haloi, hinei, Yava mi es Hashem tzivokos v'yigu amim bidei esh yakiru ha'amim asher hayu mivuchanetzar v'yimzaroi. The nations will recognize who are these other nations. V'heim hakastim v'hanismachim aleihem. Again, extremely important to always appreciate that the kastim are not the same as the babloim. We lump them together as one malchus. It's not. Nebuchadnezzar was a Bavli. His son Evil Meroidach was a Kasti. And his grandson, Belshazzar, was also a Kasti. Okay, there are two different nations. And in fact, this is an important point. We spoke about this a couple of times, just as a Chazara. All of the Dalet Malchios can be broken down into two, which gives us a total of eight. Now, Rabbi Chol, I don't want to step on his toes here. He is the resident scholar of the Dalet Malchios. He wrote a sefer on the Dalet Malchios. How dare I contradict anything that he says? And I know he's not fully happy with this.
We do have a theme called pairs, in which these are spelled out.
And part of that idea is that for the first Malchus is what? Is Bavel. That's one. But Bavel can be broken down into two parts, and they are the Babylonians and the Kastim. Who's the next Malchus? The next Malchus is Paras u'Modai. I mean, that's simple. Paras, the one that did the conquering, was really Modai. And Modai gave over his Malchus to Paras. The story of Purim was Achashverosh, who was the Melech of Paras, not the Melech of Modai. So this, the second Golos, we say is called the Golos of Paras u'Modai, but it's also truly broken down into two parts. What is the third Golos? The Golos of Yavon. Yavon was established by Alexander the Great. But what happened when Alexander the Great died? When he died, his Malchus was splintered into, it's really Mokdon. Alexander was really of a Mokdon.
Mokdon is the origin of Alexander.
So it's called Macedonia. It's called after Mokdon. And then when he died, it was splintered into three parts. And we neglect to describe the difference. And those three empires which took over after the death of Alexander the Great had a different flavor. They had a different, their approach to leadership and what the harm they've done to the world and to Klal Yisrael is not the same as Alexander the Great.
I want to come back and clean the chairs, right?
I'm sorry, Rabbi, one second, I have to talk to you.
In like 5 or 10 minutes, I'm going to come back and clean the chairs.
Okay, you want me to go to the other room then?
Yeah, like 10 minutes.
Okay, fine, okay. Can I stay here when you clean the chairs? Is that possible?
No. I mean...
You going to make a lot of noise?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go to the other room. Okay, fine, okay. No problem. Okay, thank you. Okay, I might have to move into the other room in a few minutes. They're coming here to clean the chairs. All right, we'll see what would happen. Maybe we'll do the other part of the show in the other room. We'll see. Okay, but Alexander the Great, when he died, his Malchus was split. It was split into three parts. And that is, there are two parts. Likewise, Edom, so Michal has an issue with this, is that Edom also is divided into two parts. The first part is Edom, and the second part are the Yishma'elim. The Yishma'elim is part two of Edom. So really it's Arba Shehem Shmoina. There are four Golios.
You may as well give the other view, which is that it's Seir and Edom in most of the literature.
So Seir and Edom, fine. There's another approach. Instead of Yishmael, if we don't want to include Yishmael, so what is the difference between Seir and Edom? Okay, that has to be understood. But
you understand that in these things like Mokdon and Seir, those are origin points for let's say Seir is the origin of Edom. right?
Yes. Okay. Okay, but also we're trying to find a historical, it's not just in concept, but a historical time when they had authority. So when it comes to Seir, if you want to say that the last goal list is Edom and part B is Yishmael, so we understand in world history for 2,000 years, we're dealing primarily with Rome, Western civilization, and in this generation, Ikus of the Mashiach, the one that really has a lot of prominence and has made a lot of trouble, is Yishmael. Yishmael, they control oil. Their population has swelled beyond belief, and terrorism is the code word. I mean that's the key word in today's generation. And terrorism, by and large, comes from the Yishmaelim. So, from a historical perspective, it's much more satisfying to break up the fourth galus into Edom, and as an outgrowth of Edom is Yishmael. And I know that's hard to swallow, because Chazal talk about galus Edom, and Yishmael really has nothing to do with Edom. So that's why you are much more comfortable in breaking it up into Seir and Edom. But Seir, if we want to talk in history, where do we find Seir as a nation of Seir was responsible for our tzaros, or for that matter, a player on the world scene? We find Rome rising to power, and Rome was always called Edom. We don't find Seir having any historical significance at the time after Yavon appears. Okay, let's go as a side point. And the reason why I say this is because over here we always mention this here in the Farshim, and it's confusing the Kastim and the Babylonians. And here the Radak again makes the point. These are the Kastim. We're describing over here Nebuchadnezzar, Vimzaroi, Nebuchadnezzar and his seed. Nebuchadnezzar was really a Bavli. The Zera of Nebuchadnezzar were the Kastim. Ki Yigiyosam Soifolo Esh. The end will be Soifolo Esh Ulekiloyon into destruction. Notice the Radak is maneuvering very, very carefully. And he doesn't really translate the word bidei esh, unless you want to say that the word bidei he translates as besoifa. Their end will be bidei into the fire. Yigiyasam soifa lo esh. Or maybe the word bidei is equivalent to the prefix of a lamed. Maybe that's what he's doing. Lo esh. The way you write the word lo esh, instead of using a prefix of a lamed, you say bidei esh. Ulechiloyoin, kishayovay aleim chel modayu paras v'yachrivom. When the armies of modayu paras will overtake them in the time of Baal Shetzar, 70 years later, in the palace, on the night when Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall that their malchus is coming to end. V'yarsu habinyonim asher yogu bohem, and at that point in time, their beautiful palaces will be destroyed. V'heviu shalal ha'amim l'bavel, and all of the spoils of war will be taken to Bavel. Yedu oz v'yavinu ki yigiyosam choysa la'esh ulechi loyoin v'lorik. And at that point in time, there will be a moment, a reality check. A reality check, they will come to recognize that all of their hard efforts were all for nothing. K'moy sh'amar, Yirmiya, Chaymois Bavel, the walls of Bavel, Hor Chava, Arer, Tis Arar, Usheoreha, Hagavahim Boesh Itatsu. These are expressions which mean that Bavel will suffer an obliteration off the face of the earth. The Chaval Ho'inin Bimilashoinais, we have repetition of Yamar, Bide Rik Yofu, and this idea is expressed twice in the Pasik, Vigu Amim Bide Esh, Ulumim Bide Rik Yofu. It's repeated twice for poetic repetition. It's a reality check. They're going to realize now, at this moment in time, that all of their efforts were for nothing, and there's nothing to show for what they have accomplished. Ki Timol Aritz Ladas Eskod Hashem, Uperush Ki Akira Kol Viedu Ki Mies Hashem Hoysa Hanukam Azos Nikmas Am Hashem. It was revenge for what they have done to the nation of Hashem. The Nikmas Hecholoi, it was revenge for destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Nebuchadnezzar Hevi Advar Pela. Upon Nebuchadnezzar was Advar Pela, Shenitrad Bibne Adam Be'od Hadabah Befiv Shahoya Misko'eh. Okay, he writes something very important. All the Mefarshim bring up this point, but the only one that says these very intense words of the Rapella is the Radak, that Nebuchadnezzar, at the moment he was bragging about his accomplishments, he lost his mind, and he turned into an animal. His mind became like an animal. He got down on his arms and legs like an animal, and began to behave like an animal, and he went into the forest and was there for a number of years. And this was a Pella. This was a wonder. Could you imagine a head of the free world, a head of the whole world, in a televised event where there are billions of people watching, all of a sudden turns into an animal, starts behaving like an animal? Well, that's exactly what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and it was viewed to be a Pella. K'moy she'amar, Oid Milsa b'pum Malka, while the king was speaking, the Gamal Balshetzar ben Benoy Hevi Ois Gadol b'mashem nichta b'koysel ha'heichol. There was also a Pella regarding Balshetzar. There was the hand writing on the wall. Bei Beleli at that time kitil Balshetzar Malka kasta. Period. The Koresh mido'o Omer Achar Shekavash Bavel, and Koresh mido'o, he calls him over here Koresh the Modai. Omar Acha Shekavash Bavel, Kol Mamluchas Aretz Nasan Li Hashem Luchas Shemayim, Hine Kol Amim Hoidu Bekel Yisbarach Bois Hazman. All of the nations, they praised Hashem, Vekiru Kimi Eis Hashem Bo Kol Harol Bavel, Uvze Hadavar Yedu Hakol Kikvod Hashem Meoid, Kamayim Yichasu Al Yam. Yedu Be'emes. Everyone at this point in time realized with truth, Kiyokel Mashkiach B'masa Ibn Adam, Lo seis le'ish kid rochav. Everyone in the world at this moment in time came to the appreciation of Kol Shparchu. He is the boss. The Yigu b'shnei yudin b'shal yirmiya b'yud eson. The second yud is not part of the shoresh. V'hi mo or medes b'gimel ayin yud aleph. Okay, there's some dictic which we'll leave out. Okay, so basically what he's saying over here is very simple. He didn't say any earth-shattering chidushim here so far, at least at face value. He just told us that this pasuk, according to the pshat, is a continuation describing the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar will be destroyed by Paras Umodai. He will, at that point in time, all of his kingdom, his servants, all of those that were loyal to him will realize that they wasted their life in serving this evil man. All of their work, their efforts, the Yigiyah, all their accomplishments have been destroyed. And at this point in time, the entire world came to recognize that this was a Maaseh Elokim. Nebuchadnezzar suffered an enormous bezoyon in losing his mind. Balshetzar suffered an enormous bezoyon with the handwriting on the wall, and his malchus coming to an end. And it was a sign from Hashem, and the whole world came to appreciate this at this moment in time. And now he translates the words bidei esh with more precision, bidei rik, vishal yirmiya, he says, bidei rik, bidei esh. He makes a point in pointing out that in Sefer Yirmiya, these terms are reversed. In Sefer Yirmiya, describing the same scene, it says first bidei rik and second.
Rabbi Levine, yes. Rabbi Levine, we can't see the bottom. It's cut off already.
Like this? So, now you can see it? Can you see it now?
No. A little better, yeah.
I don't know what you're seeing. I enlarged it on my screen and I moved it. When I enlarge it.
Bottom lines.
What?
Bottom lines.
I'm up to now. I'm not up to yet. I'm up to where bidei esh. I'm in the middle. You see the Dibur HaMaskel bidei esh, bidei rik?
Yes.
When I enlarge it, is it enlarged on your screen also? Or you can enlarge it yourself?
Yeah, now it's good.
Now I'm just curious. Anyone who has a phone, when you try to enlarge it, does it work?
Yes.
Sure, it does.
Yes.
It works.
So you can do it yourself. You can enlarge it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. I'm just doing from my side.
The limit. I mean, the screen goes to a certain point.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. B'day yesh le'adam shal yirmiyah b'day rik b'day yesh v'hem kumo bo'esh borik umilas dai ne'sefes b'chem moira al has modas hadavar v'hagdolasa in abundance v'chein b'day shayfar k'day arbe l'roif. Okay, then he goes on to say Yufke, we'll leave that. So basically he's not telling us the meaning, he's just making a very interesting point, which requires more discussion, not for now, that why in Sefer Yirmiyah is the order Bidei Rik and then Bidei Eish, whereas here in Sefer Chavakuk it's Bidei Eish and then Bidei Rik. Say there is everything. The fact that it's in a different order is definitely significant, and we're gonna have to leave that for another time. We're gonna take a short break. I'm going to relocate, and we'll be back in a few moments. Okay, we're going
to
learn. Yes.
Just to make one quick thing, the Abravanel makes a point of saying, just like you said now with the Arba Malchios, Dalet Malchios, that Yishmael will swallow up. That's in the last pasuk of Micha, Yitain Emes Yaakov. Why it doesn't mention Yitzchak is for that reason, because Yishmael accepts Israel at the end. They'll swallow up Esau. There's no coming back for Esau. But for Yishmael, yes.
Okay.
So they will overcome. That's Chesed Labra. That's what he says. Okay.
All right, let me yeah.
A quick question, clarification from yesterday. If you use a trimmer on the side by the ear, we took yesterday, as long as you don't touch the skin, it's good, right? By the pious.
I guess so. If you don't touch, the skin, the goal is you're not allowed to cut the hair in that area.
Like I'm talking about, like over here, right? Yeah. If you can see this, so if I can use the trim but not touch the skin, is that good?
I would assume yes. Yeah. If you're not touching the skin, then it means it's like a scissor. It's like a scissor. And a scissor is good because it's not possible for you to get so close that you're going to cut the hair less than the minimum size.
The only other way is also to use maybe if you use a comb, like some barbers use a comb when they go around there, I think.
And they cut with
the comb, so it doesn't touch the skin.
Okay. But you're not supposed to actually let the trimmer touch the skin in that area with the ear.
Yeah, I know.
Use a scissors.
So if you just